Hello everyone, I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We've had a lot of stops and starts today. For one reason or another, I hope you guys can hear me now. I think we're live. I'm going to roll with it here for just a little while and let you know what we're going to cover today. We got first some very interesting news. Then I'm going to talk about reincarnation, the Talmud of Emmanuel, some new stuff I've been reading, a little information on the creational natural laws, and we will study the way to live, and finally a little bit from the might of thoughts. I'm going to try to see if I can bring on my, I guess you'd call him my producer here, Stephen Woods. I've been getting some strange behavior. I had to update again on Skype, so I'm not sure if this is what we're seeing or it's just me. Stephen, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Are we live? We're live, right?
Yes.
For some reason, today it thinks I'm recording in MP4, so I'm going to have that issue again, perhaps. It looks like that. So that's one of the reasons I hung up a couple times. I'm not sure why it does that. Let me dive into some of the news, and I want to cover this when Frosty comes on the show. Steve, have you heard about this 47-car pileup on I-70?
No, I haven't.
Well, that's very interesting. It's out on YouTube now. There's a dramatic video of a 47-car pileup, which occurred on I-70 somewhere in Missouri. I think Kansas City is close to where this was. I think Missouri and Kansas City are kind of adjacent there. There were one person killed, seven others injured. And it's a very interesting video, and I have to relate this to a degree to overpopulation, because one thing we have is the extreme weather. And we're seeing these snowstorms. They just keep coming and coming. And then we have such busy traffic on the highways today, and people follow too closely, and so we have one crash after another here, 47 car pileup, and there was a truck driver who took a video, and he was stuck in it near the beginning, and you know, you just car after car piling in on this video. It's pretty amazing. So have you guys had a lot of snow in Michigan? Or
yeah, it's been a pretty the kids have been out of school for I'd say a week and a half in the last 2 weeks, probably.
No kidding.
Yeah.
That's crazy. See, that makes me think of overpopulation and the destruction of our forests, which causes, and then the forests moderate the weather. So now, you know, as we slowly destroy our forests, we have the more extreme weather. Along those lines, we've talked about how with overpopulation, we have the factory farms, and we do not allow, for example, cows that have 2 acres to graze, they get stuck in these buildings. Well, the same kind of thing goes on with turkey. And there's another salmonella outbreak. I don't know if you've heard about this, but started in November of this 2017, even that early, and it's that long ago, and we've had more and more turkey products with salmonella in them. So Some more news on that front. I'd like to hear what Frosty has to say about that. I don't know if you've heard of any of that, Stephen. Have you?
Well, I must be in the dark. I haven't.
Well, I'm telling you, they don't cover these things on the news. They really don't. You have to go off and search for this stuff. I use some I don't use Google all the time. I'll go out and use other search engines, which helps me find things. Another crisis is going on right now. Venezuela. U.S. planes are flying down and carrying aid to Venezuela. It's pretty bad down there right now. Children are growing hungry. Nearly every hospital in Venezuela is experiencing serious medicine shortages. And Frosty has talked about how these guys are incredibly they're very social. It's a socialistic country. It's socialism, and evidently it just doesn't work very well. He anyway, The crisis has reached regional proportions, and to the point where 3 million people in Venezuela are now migrating to neighboring countries, searching for food and medicine. So this is one of the largest displacements of people in the history of Latin America. And this is another thing that Meyer has prophesied about, right? The migration of all these people, right?
Right. Are they suffering like an economic collapse right now?
Yeah, it's a collapse. This is what it is. And I haven't been able to study it enough. There's a YouTube out there called The Venezuelan Collapse. And I just saw it. I just haven't had time to... The Collapse of Venezuela Explained. And I that looks like an interesting one. I haven't really looked at yet. But that's other big news. Finally, the Mueller investigation has ended, allegedly. I have a hard time believing it'll ever end. But they now admit there is no Russian collusion. And people like Tucker Carlson from Fox News are saying it was always a hoax. So... Mm. Breaking news, for whatever reason, is being downplayed or ignored by the other media outlets. Five simple words describe it. There was no Russian collusion. There is no evidence whatsoever that the Trump campaign conspired in any way with the government of Vladimir Putin during the last presidential election. They spent 2 years investigating this, hundreds of interviews, spent millions of taxpayer dollars. I don't know where you land, Stephen. So you don't have to answer that question if you don't want to. I think we need to have a try to be as neutral as I can. I guess I'm not really, but
well, you think if it was has been unfounded for 2 years, and at some point you would have said, okay, enough's enough. Prior to that, but.
Yeah, I know, it's just crazy. Oh. Trump did declare a national emergency to build the wall. So we're going to have a wall of some kind or another. Trump said walls work, and he confirmed the emergency declaration would accompany spending legislation because Trump looks at it as an invasion of our country. And I don't really blame so much the poor people that are just, you know, in a crisis, but I think that there are groups and people like George Soros, who's a billionaire, that will profit from the flooding of all these migrants in, because once they get the migrants here, mm-hmm. it'll be much easier to break up the U.S., which is what they want to do, and because that fits into their New World Order plans a lot easier, and as Billy has said, we will have two civil wars, and the United States will break up in different regions. So I always hope that doesn't happen. What were you going to say? Sorry.
I'm just wondering if they want a cheap labor force, if that's a reason why they'd want those folks to come up.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely part of it, too. And then that lowers the standard of living. And then you'll have, of course, millions, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, and even probably millions of people that there won't be jobs for, and then we'll be carrying around this big, gigantic population of people that would just, you know, drag down the economy.
Did Billy's information talk about the wall in the future? I thought I remember hearing something about a wall being in place in the future, but
man, that would be great if you could find that and do a little. Yeah, I don't remember that. But I think that would be so cool if we could
see
if you can find that, man. That would be absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
And, okay, just to kind of, I have to tell the whole thing in context to kind of let, I don't know, I just feel compelled to do this. I played Thursday night at the Country Club here in Zanesville with a buddy of mine who's a bass player, and he owns a venue called Weasel Boys Brewery, and so we had a good time on Thursday and didn't really do any work Thursday, and then I worked out of my home on Friday, and did my normal stuff pretty much. And then, you know, every once in a while I'll wake up at 5 a.m. for whatever reason. And I usually take that as a sign I better dive into the Meyer material. This morning I kind of went about it kind of backward. I listened to that there's a great video on reincarnation that is available on YouTube, and it's called Reincarnation in the Spirit Form, and it's made by Michael Utterbrook from Figu, Canada. And he's just a great guy. I had him on the show a couple times. I'd like to get him back. And I keep learning little things in this movie, and then I'll go off and research him. And what he has done is translate one of Billy's books. It's called, in German, Wiederbirth, Leben, Sterben, Tod und Trauer, Rebirth, Life, Dying, Death, and Sorrow. And he just presents reincarnation in such an interesting way. And one of the things that I found out this time through, and I can't tell you how many times I've been through this, is something about the spirit form, which I didn't really realize. And I'll just read this. And this is, he said something in passing that made me kind of go off and research this. And this goes, Contact Report 228, it says, now if Nokodemian spirit form has a very high stage of evolution, then that doesn't mean that the human in which the spirit form is reincarnated would therefore be something other than a simple human being. And I thought, whoa, let me think about that for a minute. So, let me read a little bit more, and then I'll kind of discuss it a little bit. And again, Contact 228, his consciousness and the personality which thereby arises from it are inevitably adjusted into the present human evolutionary circumstances, which means that it therefore, seen quite pragmatically, is really quite primitive. Also, when the knowledge of the spiritual matters is so high that it enables the pressing toward and into the storage banks up to the high levels. Let's try to break this down and make sense out of it. So what this is actually saying is that the spirit form is very much more highly evolved than our consciousness. And I'll jump down to a later part of Contact 22. It says, a spirit form always contains a much higher evolutionary stage than the consciousness and its personality. The consciousness is always fitted into the circumstances of the life form, its living conditions, and its environment. And I don't know if you remember this, Stephen, but some of the material, someplace or another, says that, like, you won't reincarnate into a civilization, for example, that would hold your evolution back.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a certain level of advancedness. Like, I probably wouldn't reincarnate into, you know, onto some Pacific island where the people had never even hardly come into contact with the rest of the world, because that would kind of hold us back. But what this also is saying, and it's probably true, especially in Billy's case, because his spirit form is so old, that the spirit form always is at a much higher evolutionary stage than the consciousness.
Mm.
Yeah, that really evoked a lot of thought on my part, and I'm still in the beginning stages of trying to put all this together and understand it. But I think what it's saying here is that the spirit form, of course, has been around, in our case, like the normal Earth human, 4.5 million years. But in Billy's case, My understanding is it's his spirit form is 9.6 billion years old. So in relation to his spirit form, his personality and his consciousness is not nearly as highly evolved. And isn't that interesting? Go ahead if you're going to.
Well, that's why in my prior thinking I thought, okay, if he's been around that many years, his spirit form, that any life within the last 5,000 years is relatively a brand new life, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's within the last 5,000 years of a billions of years life. So I thought, how much more advanced could you be in that last 5,000 years? I mean, you're already very advanced. Mm-hmm. So that's why I thought, well, if I study, you know, Aristotle or Socrates, what kind of knowledge would they be displaying that he had? Does that make sense? Because he's had it for billions of years, and if that person was from the same spirit form, but the consciousness personalities are different.
Yeah, there's a lot to this. There's a whole lot to this, and the more I learn, it's like the more I need to learn. So let me read this. The consciousness and the personality that thereby arises from it cannot be one-for-one swap with the spirit form. It is a process which is possibly only through the accepted help of spiritual energy, its power, and its knowledge and wisdom. A spirit form always contains a much higher evolutionary stage than the consciousness of its personality. And the other interesting thing about this, trying to put this all into perspective, is that the spirit form is not really conscious. It's, and as Michael Udebrick says, it's really just focused on getting the most pure material during this lifetime. So the spirit form gets a new personality, okay, and the personality is never repeated. And we do that nature does that, so we're not stuck in the same old patterns because so we get a new personality. And it's not burdened by the past, and so the spirit form is reincarnated, and the level of consciousness evolution of the new personality starts off where the past personality left off. Now, this is kind of strange because it's subconscious. You know, those evolutive values and those consciousness forms, like love, honesty, respect, patience, diligence, humor, that's all programmed into the subconscious. So it's like, I don't know how, this is kind of the way I'm trying to wrap my mind around this and see what you think. We have this gigantic, super duper spirit form that has all this knowledge and ability from all these previous lives, and we have all of these essences of all this, these evolutive values like love, honesty, respect, patience, diligence, humor, that are stored in our subconscious. So we have like these two extremely powerful things to pull from, and then we have our material consciousness, you know, with all its foibles. That's really only as however old you are, and we all have our own set of ego issues and other things. So it's really like we have on the one hand something very, very powerful, but on the other hand something that it really needs to be constantly trained. At least in my case, I can only speak for myself, because I have to do a tremendous amount of repetition. At least I do. I don't.
Let's say, like in your life right now, you've mastered guitar playing, and in a future incarnation, if you were to pick up the guitar and practice, would it come easier to you because of the fact that you've had that already?
I think so. Learned? Have you ever heard of a guy from China? His name is, and I'll try to pronounce it correctly, Sung Ha Jung.
No.
And there's videos on him on YouTube, about 3 or 4 years old, maybe 5, it's hard to tell. Way better than I'll ever be, probably, even at that age. Mm. And now he's like 14 or 15, so I think you're right. I think you have this huge advantage subconsciously coming in. But I don't, you know, I don't like to go there too much because I don't really know that much about, you know, what's really stored. I know these evolutive values like love, honesty, respect, but maybe other things can be stored there. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, especially because, like, music is very subconscious. I mean, when you memorize things, a lot of it's subconscious.
And just kind of flows.
Yeah. You know, if you start thinking, you can't, even when you're, you know, when you're playing, you can't think consciously. It'll just interrupt the flow, the stream. So you have to just kind of be completely neutral and become a conduit for that energy or whatever. But okay, let's get back to some of the mechanics again of reincarnation, because I want to move on to a little bit of the Talmud of Emmanuel. And thank you again for buying this gigantic book for me.
Well, you're welcome.
Because whatever my issue is with it, I still don't know. I wish I knew myself better. You'd think after all this time I would understand myself, but I don't. So anyway, okay.
But you're in the same boat with me. So
that's really? Okay, that's good. Okay, quickly, reincarnation. So what happens is, when you die, the spirit form comes out of the body and it goes into this realm around our planet called the fine matter world. And the spirit form takes it with it, the material consciousness, and it goes, the material consciousness goes into something called the overall consciousness block. And every spirit form has its own overall consciousness block. That's my understanding. And then there's this process that happens where everything that you've learned in your life is kind of absorbed by the spirit form. And these evolutive values are eventually programmed into the subconscious, because what's happening in the spirit realm is the spirit form is preparing for the new life. So it's absorbing everything you've learned from the previous life. It's constructing a new personality, and it's loading into the subconscious the evolutive values of the previous life. And then when a new child becomes available, 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg, the spirit form goes into the body of the child, and it goes into what's called the superior colliculus, which is kind of in the middle of the brain, my understanding is. And the energy of the spirit goes throughout the body, every fiber of the body, like a fine filigree. And the spirit form, even though it's in your brain, even though it enters the human, somehow it remains in its own realm too. And there's probably a whole book Billy could write about that to explain that. But the spirit form is not able to be influenced by anything in the material world, not sickness, not disease. It's completely neutral. It's a fragment of the universal consciousness. Our universe has a consciousness. It's not a father, it's not a mother. It's not anthropomorphic in any way. It doesn't become angry or jealous. It's a super intelligence that just th- through trillions of years, continues to strive with ever, it just keeps forward, goes forward for 155 trillion years before it takes a break. This is incredible. That's what the universe is like. So this is a quick overview of reincarnation, those evolutive values that everyone gets. Well, unless you've degenerated, and I think you can degenerate in a lifetime where you literally don't go ahead hardly at all, or if maybe not a bit. So the evolutive values, they're timeless. They always have value, like love, wisdom, and harmony. And so you live for another 100 years or whatever, or 50 years, however long you live, and your material consciousness learns again in the new lifetime, and then when it's time to leave the material realm again, you'll go back into the spirit realm, and the process repeats itself. So, and I just wanted to just mention one thing about the psyche. You know, the psyche, what controls the material consciousness is called the psyche. It controls the thoughts and the feelings of the material consciousness. I learned today, it's the finest material part of the human being. It's in the feeling center located around the chest. And Michael Utterbrick said the most interesting thing today. He said that the psyche is even identifiable by smell. I don't have any answer for that. Don't know much more about that than that. Right there. Now, what kind of got me started in this whole thing on reincarnation was pulling stuff out of the storage banks. Now, I really didn't get into that as much as I wanted to. But there is a influence from the storage banks. And I don't know how to do this consciously, but Billy does. And if your thinking, evidently, is at the right frequency, if your thinking matches the frequency of someone else in the past, you can click right into the knowledge of someone else, evidently. I don't know much more about it than that, but just keep that in mind, that the storage banks play a role in this whole process as well. Okay, that's reincarnation. We covered a quick little talk on the news. And
I did find one of those things that you're looking for that fence thing.
Oh, really? Please read it.
Well, there might be a different one too, but this one was from FIGU Special Bulletin 31, but it was more with President Bush and a thousand mile fence or something.
Really?
Yeah.
So Bush was going to build one too.
Well, let's see. What does it say? Says further, this completely irresponsible sectarian signs a document to the effect that a fence well over 1,000 kilometers long will be erected on the Mexican border in order to hold back the unwanted Mexican economic refugees from reaching the USA.
That was during the Bush time?
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
So the timing was a little off.
Yeah, I think I thought I heard something else, but you know, again, it'd take me a while to find it, but
thank you for that. That's a very interesting. I finally got through the introduction of the Talmud of Emmanuel, which is, it's a lot of pages. And it's all Roman numerals, so I can't even tell you how long it is. But it's like a book in itself, and I have been studying a little bit. Well, let me just read this little section. It says, Adam, the father of a species, of terrestrial human beings, who was bred by the celestial sun, Semyasa, with a terrestrial woman. Semyasa, the maker of Adam, was a cousin of Commander Semyasa. Now, Commander Semyasa was a high commander of the celestial suns. The celestial suns is just another name for the extraterrestrials that were here. They're human beings, just like us. They're not angels, even though the book here sometimes uses the term guardian angels. And so there were two Semyasas. One was one of the leaders of this whole group that came to the earth. And it's talked about in Contact Report 9. During the time of Atlantis and Lemuria here, there were 200 leaders. He had sub-leaders. There were 200 sub-leaders in this population of Atlantis and Lemuria. And Semyasa was in command of that group. Now, this whole thing, there was an... In the contact report, they call Eris the barbarian, who was kind of in charge of these celestial sons. They call him a JHWH, an Ishwish. But in the true sense of the word, he doesn't meet the term Ishwish. That's something else I learned today. And this is because a true Ishwish not only is a person that's advanced in knowledge and understanding, but he's an example to others of how to behave and how to do things. So Eris would definitely not qualify for that, but he had a certain level of power and knowledge. So anyway, it says in Contact Report 9, from these the present earth mankind developed. Now this is, I could get thrown off the air for saying this, but I'm going to read it. in this politically correct environment that we live. But I'll read this anyway. It says, as I flounder around here.
I do have a question for you while you're looking at that.
Good.
Let's say the people on Earth prior to that, if their DNA had already been altered to live a shorter life and be more aggressive, now that they're being mixed with this other person's DNA, right, that was living a long time, let's say 1,000 years,
mm-hmm.
Why is that part of the lineage?
I don't know the chronology.
Yeah,
I don't know the chronology. See, and this is the whole problem, and this is used to be a great source of frustration with me, because a lot of this stuff is not translated yet. So there's like gigantic, huge, super important information, you know, that we really can't apply that kind of information to our daily life, but it sure would be nice to know some of these things. And no, that's a very good question. Go ahead.
Because some of these writings that you see, even, you know, biblical or whatever, talk about very long lifestyle or very long lives.
Oh yeah, yeah. And the extraterrestrials here had very long lives.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's really, we're kind of designed to live 1,000 years because we don't live according to creational natural laws, and we don't really use the might of our thoughts the way we should and the way we could, because your Lebenskraft, your life force, is related to your consciousness. And this is another question I probably should ask some of the people in Switzerland about. It's like, how do you, you know, really cultivate that? It's one thing I'd like to know. And I think it's tied into enthusiasm. But I couldn't really give you too many more specifics. It's also, you know, keeping yourself from allowing yourself to think negative thoughts. But I'm going to read this just as it is here. And, you know, most people would say, oh, this is racist. just in our politically charged environment today. It says, travelers from afar, and this is Talmud of Emmanuel chapter 1. The extraterrestrials are designated as the travelers from the far reaches of the depths of the firmament, outer space. Semyasa, the celestial sun, excuse me, extraterrestrial and guardian messenger, guardian overseer of the JHWH, the Ishwish, the great ruler of the voyagers who traveled here through the vast expanses of the firmament, outer space, took a terrestrial woman and begot Adam, the father of the new, unclouded, light-skinned human species on the earth, the progenitor of new terrestrial light-skinned peoples. So, to kind of get back to your question, Stephen, I think this particular branch of the human Earth humans was mostly the fair-skinned people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, were they already? Did they have the shortened lifespans? Did they have the hyped-up aggression? I'm not sure yet. I couldn't tell you if absolutely certain, but. Explanation. Through other extraterrestrials who were of darker and other skin color and also varying sizes, also colored human species were conceived on the Earth, from which emerged with the commingling with the Earth-created human beings, various skin colors, as well as dwarf-sized and normal-sized human beings, as well as giants and gigantic ones. From the Semyasa line, Semyasa took a terrestrial light-skinned woman and begot Adam. The light-skinned human species arose, where these light-skinned ones varied from the light pale brown skin up to white skin, namely depending on how the intermingling came about. And it was determined, they said gender intermingling, which I'm not sure how that plays a role. I expected them to say genes, but they didn't. And it was determined from the start that only from the Semyasa line would the Nokodamian line be continued on the earth. And thereby, so, okay, there was a Semyasa, the father of the terrestrial human beings. So Semyasa mated with a terrestrial woman, and then Adam came from there. Now, that Semyasa was a cousin to the commander Semyasa. That's my understanding. Hopefully I haven't screwed this up. We'll certainly have a chance to correct ourselves.
Looking at the timeline, it looks like that took place roughly, according to this, if I'm reading it right, 228,000 BCE.
Really?
Yeah.
That's, wow. Yeah. Say that again. How many?
228,000 BCE.
Wow.
Is when the Adam Semyasa created Adam, the father of the white human race.
That's a long ways back. Okay.
Yeah.
So, JHWH, Ishwish, King of Wisdom, for the Hebrews, they had what was called the Tetragrammaton, right? The unutterable name of God. Exodus 13:16. It was spoken as he who is who he is. The old spelling was what they called Yahweh Asher Yahweh. The word Yahweh was, now listen to how they pronounced it. The Hebrews pronounced it Yahweh with the emphasis on the we, the stress is given on the we, Yahweh, which I thought was very interesting. But the JHWH comes from the old Lyrian language. The people who came here from Lyra Vega. Ishwish, again, is a person who is knowledgeable and educated. He has great cognition. He has great interpretation and observance of the creational laws. He's an example for people who still need to be instructed, and he also prepares himself for the distant time when he will have to cast off his physical body. Now, which is also another thing that makes my head spin. I'm very much more materialistic than I realize, because the only thing that I think is maybe easier for me or to appreciate is that, you know, it's very interesting how we go from having a material body to becoming finer and finer until it's half physical, half spiritual. After 40 to 60 million years of physical incarnation, we become half spiritual, half physical. And eventually we become completely spiritual, and we spend about almost 3 billion years, I think, going up through all those seven layers in the seventh stage of evolution. You know, we have seven stages of evolution, and then in the seventh stage there are seven sub-layers. And at the final stage of that, it's called the Petali level. And for some reason, that means the blooming of creation. I don't know how that all plays in, but when our spirit form gets to that level, that's when it's fully conscious. It becomes completely conscious. So, I don't know. I haven't read. I don't know if you have read, Stephen, or not. But when we are in those spirit realms, I don't know if we have a material consciousness or not. I have no idea.
I have not studied that, yeah. That might be in the spiritual teaching, but I don't have access to that. So.
Yeah. Well, that's a whole nother interesting storyline I could go off on, too. I kind of like being a renegade out here. I don't have to conform to any rules. Too many rules. Okay. Last 15 minutes, we're going to cover the Might of Thoughts. Macht der Gedanken. This is the book I've spent most of my time on. Never planned to do that. I've told you probably this story, Stephen, about how I went to Munn's Park twice. And they still have a study there. It broke up for a while and then it got back together. But I can remember they were going over this book. And they would read this. Everyone would read a paragraph or whatever. And they had a book I could borrow, so I got to read, you know, when it was my turn or whatever. But you talk about not understanding anything. I mean, It was so just, I couldn't believe it. Anyway, so I asked questions, and I could see, yeah, they understood some of it, and a lot of it they didn't understand either. So that was the beginning of my journey. So I got that book, and I was told to read The Psyche first. And I probably told the story many times about me in the Flagstaff airport reading this book. The Psyche, in my mind being blown by The Psyche. Mm-hmm. You've read that book, right?
Yeah, I haven't studied it, but I have read it. But
yeah. I don't know if you do this, but like his material, you can go over it and over. I mean, there's just so much there. So anyway, so one particular area which will maybe save you from making a gigantic mistake someday is page 224. So anyone that's listening, pay attention to this here. We'll finish this off for the last 15 minutes, and I'll probably hang up, call Frosty, and we'll go with the second half of the show. Okay, here we go. Page 224, and I'm going to jump down a little bit. It says, this is a contrast to when tangled ideas confuse the thoughts and abruptly go from one extreme to another, whereby a misdirection of thoughts arises, which triggers emotions. So we have tangled ideas. Ideas, I-D-E-A-S, are unripe, undeveloped, not completely thought through. If you ever have a case where you feel yourself getting triggered, you're discussing something with somebody, and you're going back and forth or whatever, and you're starting to get emotional, you can tell yourself, whoa, I'm in the wrong. Even if I'm in the right, I'm in the wrong, because this still isn't a ripe idea. It isn't fully developed. Because, how do I know that? Because it's triggering my emotions. And if you have some aspect of this concept that's not completely fully developed, and you're trying, and there is some confusion, you might have just a little bit of confusion on it, what happens is your thoughts can go abruptly from one extreme to another. Okay? So I can just give this as an example. You may become... You think you could be talking to someone you really care about, you really like, and you think about how you really like them, and then you think about how angry you are, and so you're going from one extreme to another. So the next thing that happens is the misdirection of the thoughts. And the misdirection is like you should be thinking about, your thoughts should be going north, but they're going south. You should be thinking about such and such, but you're thinking about something that seems almost unrelated. So when your thoughts do this jumping, one extreme to another, or they go through the misdirection, then your emotions get triggered. Okay? And this, if you haven't developed enough of the right thinking, you can then be triggered into manslaughter and murder. And that's what happens, people do those things. So again, just self, look at yourself and see that your emotions are getting triggered, and then that can tell you, oh, there's something about my idea that's not completely developed. Maybe I thought I've thoroughly contemplated it, but there's something else I need to learn here. So if you get caught up in your ideas, you cannot get free of them. So, and the thoughts, your thoughts will not be organized. They'll be tangled. There can be a frantic behavior here. And there's a cause and effect that's happened. You got tangled ideas, which confuse the thoughts. Effect. Thoughts go abruptly to extremes. Then you have a misdirection of the thoughts, which even is worse. And that'll trigger emotions, which can lead to violence. So we have to be looking at ourselves all the time so you don't make these huge mistakes. What is tangled thoughts? Tangled thoughts are thoughts that are twisted together. They're untidy. They're jumbled. They're chaotic. I wake up in the morning a lot with tangled thoughts. Confused thoughts. We're unable to think clearly. There's disorder in our consciousness. You have trouble with linear thinking. And one of the things I do, and I don't know if this is good or bad, but it's a habit. I wake up every morning and I play chess against the computer so that I start my linear thinking right off the bat. Boom, 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 boom. So the left brain, then the organized brain, the rational brain is in charge. And then that kind of subdues some of the other stuff, the misdirection of the thoughts, the triggered emotions. So what you're trying to do is leave room for virtue and rationality. Otherwise, if you let your emotions get triggered, you will have virtuelessness. There's no rationality. You can't. You can't even you can't really even set a what's called a life determination, a zeal. You cannot develop your ideas into ideals, I-D-E-A-L. So this leads to what Billy also calls the vicious cycle, which is thoughts that you can't stop. And I think that's why we have such drug usage today. Would you agree with that, Stephen? Like a lot of the opiate addiction?
Oh, sure.
Might be because people can't control their thoughts, right?
Definitely, yeah.
I talked to a policeman last year at a one of the wineries here, not far from here. And he was telling me, oh, man, how bad it is. I can't believe how many people are like they have this, you might, I don't know if you know the name of it or not, but like they have this like people can take with them this like antidote drug. And like when they feel like they've OD'd on whatever they do, their opium or I don't know what people do, heroin or whatever, they give mm-hmm. themselves this shot.
Mm-hmm.
Which can save their life. Have you heard about this?
Yeah, it blocks receptors in their brain, so it stops the effect of the drug, yeah.
No kidding.
So I've got a mind blank on what's going on right now, but yeah.
Yeah. So people, they know they're addicts, they know they're going to do these drugs, and then they take this, they keep this with them at all times, because if they accidentally do too much, then they can give themselves the antidote. Mm. Right? That's so insane.
Yeah.
But it's common.
I wonder if it has anything to do with overpopulation and spirit forms coming in too quick too, that you're not fully developed and you're...
Oh, of course. I mean, that's a great point. I dread my next reincarnation because I don't want to come in after only 4 or 5 years or 5 minutes in the spirit realm or whatever I get, Because,
exactly.
I really do. And I also... I kind of dread it too, because who knows what's going to happen with overpopulation.
Yeah.
I don't see things getting better until we, hit the bottom. Evidently, we're going to hit bottom because we're not waking up. You know what I mean?
I am.
This whole thing with Roger Stone has been like a canary in the coal mine with me. That fellow is, if he ends up in prison, we don't, in my opinion, have the rule of law anymore. But that's just my, that's a whole... Okay, we're on break now, right?
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.